This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Ensure that the programming is responsive to the diverse needs of the Houston region. I ask you, please support democracy and vote in the upcoming elections. A vote with KPFT is a vote for freedom. This is Thomas Williams, and I thank you for your time.
This is 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Yeah.
following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast and 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and somewhere there's a doctor at Seattle Grace Hospital that, oh, I'd like to see some of his bedside manner. We'll talk about that later. But it's 1 o'clock here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, so it means it's time for After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And he was choking on the 20-ouncer.
Yes. I always choke on the big ones.
As he says that, I'll reach over here for a liter's worth.
I see. Yes, well, it's all relative, isn't it? Did we leave the door open?
I don't know, but there's a lot of noisy people out there.
I think
that
I did.
Didn't help.
I think I did. Anyway.
Hey, what do you expect? They don't listen to the show.
I know.
Oh, this is the October 21st edition.
It certainly is.
We started off with Boys Like Me by the Frustrated Housewives. And followed it up with the Masturbation Blues by Candy Kane.
Yes, yes. And this evening, we have an After Hours Quickie. It is an evening with the Royals, the brand new ones of ICOH. And after that, we've got Black on Black. And possibly we have a poetry segment. After that, I don't know. I haven't talked with him in a couple of weeks.
I ain't holding my breath.
We'll see. We'll see. After, yeah, and if not, then we'll have an expanded roundtable where we talk about issues of the day with certainly divergent viewpoints, because we drag the after-hour staff in here and make them talk.
Yeah, that can be scary.
It's always scary, actually. So what's up?
Well, that's
one thing is that J.D. Doyle's QMH is coming up.
The Queer Music Heritage.
That's right. He sent me a little email on this. Of course, the Queer Music Heritage is heard on Queer Voices every fourth Monday of the month. It's the second half of the fourth Monday's show. And he's got another one of his extended QMH shows. It includes two very candid interviews. First up is Ellen Seeling, director of the Montclair Women's Big Band, talking about their debut release and also her work in the jazz fusion band Deuce. Remember that name?
Yeah, we have a CD around
here. We certainly do, because in the early days of this show, I just played the hell out of them. It's a two-woman jazz combo.
And they the term, Deuce?
Great, great, great music. So I probably won't play that until after JD's show. That'd be kind of tacky to one-up him. And even further back with historic band Isis. Wow, that is going far back. And he's also admired the music of Philadelphia singer-songwriter Steve Cohen. He considered his 1997 album Silent Too Long as an essential gay album. And he was quizzed on his music, including some wonderful unreleased material. And wow, he's got, you know, like 8 or 9 songs from Steve that he's going to be playing on the show. And the rest of it is the Montclair Women's Big Band, Deuce, and one from Isis. So that's going to be this Monday night. Second half of Queer Voices.
And the next time we don't have a host here on here, we'll probably be playing it.
You never can tell, yes. And I do want to say, you know, normally we talk about things coming up, but I do want to mention something that has already occurred, was the Houston Pride Band's concert that I went to on Thursday night.
Oh, yes.
It was fun, and in fact I'm going to play one of the numbers that they did, Dance Macabre by Camille Saint-Saëns, because I haven't done that in a while. Played music from dead white Europeans, especially if they were queer. You know, Christmas I do a little Tchaikovsky, and you know, I used to do a little Debussy and a few of them. But Dance Macabre is perfect for Halloween.
Well, it'll be next week, then.
And it's by a queer composer, so.
Wouldn't it be harder to find a straight composer?
No.
You can't swing a baton without hitting a gay composer.
Mozart was straight.
Wow, he named one.
Well, you know, there is that. But
Chopin was so gay, they made vodka after him.
I know. He was very gay. Like Franz Schubert. Franz Schubert did the music to, the vampire movie with Catherine Deneuve. Okay, time's up. Anyway,
am I supposed to research that one?
No.
That's good, because I don't think
everybody,
even on a good day, I don't think I could spell Deneuve.
Okay. Anyway,
I like Deneuve to have me spell Deneuve at 1:15 in the morning.
You know, on the show, I like to feature queer artists, and sometimes it's always nice to throw in composers and artists of the past, much like JT does here with his queer music heritage. Anyway, you will be able to listen to that 9 p.m. Monday night, because Queer Voices is on from 8 to 10. And you can always visit his website at dubcubedqueermusicheritage.com. And normally, he not only has the entire segment, but more than he can fit in his radio spot. So.
And also includes the dirty words that he can't say elsewhere.
Well, of course. Of course. So what do you have?
Exhaustion.
Oh, how nice.
Okay, let's see.
I hope it's not catching.
Okay, since we have the other court here. I got a couple from the other court out there.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Okay. What have we got?
The Knights of the Round Table Living with HIV/AIDS in Houston will be October 22nd at the BRB at 8 p.m.
Oh, yes. That's like tomorrow night.
That's in like, you know, 19 hours.
Yeah, well, tomorrow. Once you go to bed and you wake up, then it's tomorrow.
The MCs for the night will be Don Gill and Christopher Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
A night of great performances and some eye-opening real-life stories. Funds will go to Legacy Community Health Services, Body Positive Program, and AIDS Foundation Houston Camp Hope. Both of those are through Coronation 23.
Okay.
Click.
But enough about them. Let's get to the ICOH folks.
Okay, fine. Hey, you know.
Well, you know, I have been offering the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star a monthly spot, continuous now for over a year.
To take us up on it.
And where are they?
Well, I just talked to them a couple days ago,
mm-hmm.
And I thought I would do something crazy. You may not have heard about this. I thought I'd double-check with my co-executive producer before offering someone a spot.
I've been offering it for well over a year.
Just want to double-check there.
Maybe because it's coming from me, they don't want to take it, but if we can get them on, that would be great.
Yeah, I don't remember who it is who I talked to.
Someone who's obviously very new with the organization.
Okay. This is him. Can we get closer so you can read what I highlighted?
Oh. Okay. Fine. That's great. That's great. Hope.
Well, you know what?
Love your hair. Hope it wins.
Senior talent.
Considering the last person with the uresis who you invited on,
yes,
to continuously talk, had a little problem with our sobriety clause.
Yes, and you kicked her out of here one night too, as I recall.
No, two nights once, if I recall. No.
Yes. Anyway. Welcome to An Evening with the Royals, and may I present the newest royalty to ICOH, Gemini Empress. Well, actually, to do it right, I have to say Apollo Emperor, Arlen Culliver, and Gemini Empress, Ginger Vitus.
Very good.
Well, I was, you know, I'm thinking Ginger, but I have this vision of you as you are tonight. So,
yeah, it's not exactly Ginger that's here, but
not exactly.
It's close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you both for having us on the show again.
You are certainly welcome, and we want you here every month on the third Saturday.
Yeah, we finally changed that on the calendar.
Good.
And I'm supposed to remember that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, whatever.
Best of luck with that.
Well, considering the fact that up to a couple of days ago, they thought they were going to be here yet last night.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to figure out how I was going to get in from Salt Lake City and over here at the same time.
Mm. Well.
It ain't working.
No. Yeah, I understand that.
But you do amazing things. You could have handled it.
Yeah, my broom was in top form, so I could have flown on over here.
Speaking of brooms.
Yes.
Oh, great segue.
Wasn't that a great segue?
Ginger has a little show coming up.
Yes, she does.
It's an annual one that you do.
It is.
Actually,
my late husband and I, when we mm-hmm. were Daddy and Mother of Montrose in 2000, we started Big Knobs on Broomsticks.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. this will be the seventh year. It always benefits the Red Ribbon Toy Drive mm-hmm. and Camp Hope. So it'll be festive. It'll be at Mary's, naturally.
Naturally.
On Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Hopefully on the patio. We'll have to see.
That's this Sunday?
Yeah, that would be the day after tomorrow. No, that's next Sunday.
It is on the 29th.
Don't screw with my head like that. It's a week from tomorrow.
Okay, a week.
Actually, a week from today.
It's on the 29th, yes. and we welcome anyone to come out to the show. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Craven Moorhead Knightley and I are hosting.
Okay.
Craven is our current reigning Miss Montrose.
Yes.
And we try to, when we do something at Mary's, we try to include all the Mary's royalty, which is, you know, Miss Mary's, Mother
you
of
bet.
Montrose,
you bet.
Miss Montrose, all that, so on and so forth. However, also, on the Saturday night prior to that, is the Debris Sisters. Curse of the Debris.
Oh, my.
Yes. And it won't be pretty.
No. God, if it is, it's not a Debris show. It's going to be at 9-ish.
Yeah, well, I know that case.
It also is going to benefit the toy drive and the, I asked Mama Blanche to write something down. And in all her infinite wisdom, she's got benefiting NLA Toy Drive and AFH Red Ribbon Toy Drive.
Okay.
I think they're pretty much one and the same. But she does drink, you know.
She does drink, yes.
Yeah.
And I heard you ask her for that, and when she said, do you have a crayon in the Big Chief tablet?
Yeah.
I knew you were in trouble.
Yeah, and she had to have a fat crayon because, like I say, she drinks.
Well, Blanche likes to give recognition to National Leather Association Houston.
Yes.
We merged with AFH Foundation and started combining
the toy drives.
The toy drives.
Does this mean that everybody who works at AFH has to wear leather now?
Oh, they wish. They wish they looked that good.
Some people should not wear
leather. Yes, thank you. Some people should not be seen outside of their home, but, you know, we're not even going to go there. I already have gone there, haven't I? Well, let me shamelessly promote some other stuff here.
You bet.
November 5th, on a Sunday at 8 p.m., Orlin and I are doing Fall Fling.
Mm.
It's benefiting Rain 5, charity to be announced at our cotillion, I think, on the...
On the 19th of November.
Yeah, I guess it is, because that would be a Sunday. I'm guessing it's not going
to
be
location,
on Friday.
Location to be announced.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be fun. 15% to the Lexi Bowen Fund.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually got, it seems like we don't have a lot going on, but we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Our first board, or I'm sorry, not the board meeting, the first membership meeting of the new reign is going to be Thursday, November 2nd. That's when everybody re-signs up, and Orlin and I can find out who the next members are going to be.
If you have considered joining the Imperial Court of Houston, please feel free to attend that meeting. It will be held at AIDS Foundation Houston on Wesleyan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m. And everyone's welcome to join.
That's a change because normally the first reign of the year is held at EJ's. So.
Well, you know, it's awfully hard to hold a meeting when you can't hear what the hell's going on.
Thank you.
So we're going to go ahead and do it at the AIDS Foundation.
Okay.
It's a little more conducive of what we're trying to do.
Sure.
And backtracking just a little bit again, Wednesday night, Oral and I are also hosting the monthly birthday party / jukebox show at Mary's.
Wow.
At 8:30-ish. And I say 8:30 because if anybody knows Ginger at all, her shows start within 5 or 10 minutes of showtime.
Yeah.
Not an hour after.
So if you'd like to be there and perform, please come and get your music turned in, and we will start the show at 8:30.
Absolutely.
And now what's the date on that one again?
That would be this coming Wednesday, November 1st.
Okay.
No, the 25th.
Is it the 25th? I drink, too.
This coming Wednesday, the 25th, and backing up again, I guess we should have started at the beginning, tomorrow is our breakfast at Mary's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that's
Jimmy wouldn't know about that. He
doesn't
crawl out till about 3.
And that is from 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. We serve a full breakfast. Sometimes the menu varies, but there's always some sort of meat and possibly pancakes, eggs, bacon, sausage, and some sort of fruit medley to make it a little fruitier at Mary's.
Fruit Mary's, go figure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm thinking, Jimmy, I probably shouldn't go here, but I'm going to.
Yes.
Most people get up and they have brunch. When you get up at 3 o'clock, is that like scrunch? You know, supper and lunch?
Actually, yeah, it's really only Sunday that I get up this late. But
okay, whatever. You keep telling yourself that, perpetuating the lie, you'll believe it soon enough.
No, because I have to, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I have to be at
Lazarus
House.
You go to torture, don't you?
Lazarus House, I have to be there at 3.
Yes.
So, yes. Yes.
Well, anyway, tomorrow, be there, 10 to 12. It's
10 to 12.
All you can eat for $5.
Yep.
And that money goes to to Rain 5 as well.
Plus, you get to drink 2 hours earlier.
Absolutely. And it's all about the cocktails.
That's right.
I'm not sure. I don't know who for sure is bartending.
I have no idea.
It's usually
someone
Rose.
Rose
or Jerry.
A lot of times it's Daddy. Or, yeah, it's either going to be Rose. Probably Jerry, now that I think about it. I'm not sure Rose can crawl out that early either. Depends on what kind of an evening she's had ahead of time. Speaking of crawling, no, I'm not going to go there either.
Okay.
Well, now, so Jimmy, how you doing? Oh, yeah, see, now he gets over here.
I'm doing just fine. Well, I thought Chris was coming back.
I guess we scared him off.
Yeah. Well, for years and years, this was my chair.
Oh.
But I made Chris my co-executive producer and made him do all the work.
I see. Well, isn't that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now he's back. See that?
I know. As soon as I move over here.
He was standing around lurking, waiting for you to sit in that chair. And then he.
That's it.
Something like that.
So what else? Oh, we got Cotillion coming up, too.
Tell
me what Cotillion is all about.
Cotillion?
It's all about the cocktails. No, I'm kidding.
that is the day that Ginger and I announce our charity for next year.
And our line of succession. We'll name our, our IPR, CPRs and our Dukes and our Grand Dukes and our Viscounts.
And our Barons and our Ladies. And
yeah. Yes. All okay. the ones that'll be doing the work.
Okay. Is this the to-be-announced location?
We've got a couple of places we're looking at.
And actually, we will be able to announce that on Saturday the 18th when we are here. So,
Well, that will be just the day before.
Well, yes. That's all right.
Better the day before
than the day after.
Well, if you announce it any earlier, then I can announce it.
Well, this is true.
We'll probably let you know.
As soon as you see it posted on the site, please announce it for us.
You know, because when you're not here, I still promote
of course
the
you
ICOH
do.
Thing.
We of course you do.
We appreciate that, and we greatly appreciate it.
So, that's part of it. Just, What I look at the very beginning of the show is to promote fundraisers going on in the community.
Correct.
I think that's very important. People are putting out their time and energy and lots of money if you happen to be a drag queen.
Oh, yeah, hello.
Yeah, wigs.
Cost a lot of money to look this cheap.
Yes. So, this is the good cause thing. So I love to promote the good causes plus the bars that allow these things to
absolutely
happen.
Well, we couldn't do it otherwise.
Right.
And I think a lot of people still probably don't realize that whenever you tip a performer, when you see us at a show, the money does not go in our pocket.
Oh, no.
I think a lot of people probably still don't realize that. The money goes to our charities.
You bet.
After expenses are met.
Yeah.
And I think that's true with any organization.
Sure.
We
did all right. We did, I think, well over $65,000 this last rain with benefits and fundraisers and that sort of thing. And I'm excited to find out. And that's another thing. During Cotillion, it will be announced exactly what's going to the charity, which was Lazarus House this year.
You mentioned earlier
Lazarus House.
Yes.
Fabulous facility. That's actually who the beneficiary was last year. Mm-hmm. And it'll be the check will be presented and so on and so forth at Cotillion. Yeah.
Good.
So,
okay.
So come out and see what charity we pick. And Ginger and I both, without even discussing it, picked the same charity.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so we are real excited about that. And
it's nice to know you're on the same wavelength, too.
It's a little frightening at the same time as well.
Yeah.
We'll see when we get the first fight about who's going to get which man. Although we're finding more often than not, we've already been to the same places.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here and look forward to seeing you again next month.
Absolutely.
Well, we thank you.
Thank you for letting us do this.
As well as KPFT. Thank you.
It's a fabulous forum. We appreciate it. We are so grateful to have this 15 minutes to just let people know what's going on.
Great. Great. And don't forget, let's have that information about the first membership meeting again.
It is going to be Thursday, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at AIDS Foundation Houston.
That's on Wesleyan.
It's on Wesleyan between Westheimer and West... I'm sorry, between Richmond and West Alabama.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Now we've got Christopher coming up, and I'm going to play a little music by a very old group called the Washington Sisters. And it's just, it's an old tune, but I think it's held up well.
This is Christopher Evans, your host, and we are happy to have you here with us this early morning. I am so full and tired. I want to thank my cousin, Miss Cheryl for a wonderful dinner. If she's listening, absolutely off the chain. She is an off-the-chain cook, if you must know. And to all of the other family members who may be listening, thank you for joining me this morning. I'm supposed to have a guest, so hopefully he will arrive on time. Well, he's not on time. Hopefully he will arrive here shortly. But if not, we always have a contingency plan. I would like to bring up a name that everyone should know. Every black American should know. Every American should know. And that is the name Michael Sandy of New York. And I don't know if anyone has heard what happened to Michael Sandy in New York. Michael, as many young men do, went out on the internet and was conversating with a gentleman, and I think this dialogue went on for about a week, and they decided to meet on October the 8th on that evening in the city of New York. Once Michael Sandy arrived at the rendezvous point, he was greeted not by the individual that was represented to him on the internet, but by four gentlemen who proceeded to beat him severely. And in that beating, Michael was able to break away. And he was chased onto the expressway and hit by more than one vehicle. And again, that was on October the 8th. And his family had to make a decision, which I'm sure was extremely difficult for them, on October the 13th to take him off of life support. And not so much in that this story is new or what happened to this young man is new. But some of the commentary that has come out concerning this issue is quite disturbing for me, being a black SGL male, is that there is no outrage from the black community in reference to what has happened to this young man, despite whatever his sexual preference is, whether people agree or disagree. He was a human life who had parents and a family and friends, and a life that involved a number of people. And now that has all been turned upside down and ruined. But again, back to the lack of outrage from the black community, and again, more so from the same gender loving community. Black same gender loving community had, and I can't even tell you how I actually found out about this. I think I found out through blackamericaweb.com, but someone sent me something, a small blurb about it, and I was really disturbed by the commentary. And one of the things that I would like to bring up, which I'm sure I may get some not so good feedback from, is the position of HRC. Okay. And I know HRC to be a proponent of galvanizing and bringing together people for the rights of same gender loving people. They've been invisible, as far as I'm concerned, in reference to this. When I called their headquarters, there was an 800 number with the package that they send me regularly about joining, and they had no idea. And when I inquired about how to get this particular matter on their radar so that they could maybe do something or make a statement on behalf of Michael Sandy and his family or others who've maybe had this predicament or who may find themselves in this position in the future, they were very nonchalant with me. Mm-hmm. And I already had a problem with HRC, and now this has been exacerbated by their lack of involvement or even caring. And I know, if anybody's familiar with here recently, they did a huge campaign concerning a garden center. There was a married couple who refused to do work for a gay client or a gay couple. And from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, HRC was all in that.
I hadn't heard anything about the HRC
okay
part on that. I do know that is something that kind of hit the fan here this past week. I've been watching it on Lone Star Activist Yahoo group.
Okay. Lone Star Activist?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of story about that, and then I know two of the news stations covered it.
Okay.
And the Houston Chronicle.
Okay.
Covered that story this past week. For those of you who hadn't heard, it was two gay men in a relationship own a house in the Heights, and they had hired this garden company called The Garden Guy to come out and do landscaping work at their home. And during the telephone interview, one of the homeowners made a comment that it's not his wife, it's his partner. About 5 minutes after the conversation ended, he received a email from one of the owners of the company saying, "I'm sorry, but our company policy does not allow us to do work with homosexuals." the biggest outrage part of this was that's perfectly legal to say, to discriminate, and it has since blown up. And, you know, on the Garden Group's website, it does make it very clear that they are anti-gay. Unfortunately, this couple did not notice that or chose to ignore that portion. And, I mean, there's a link on the Garden website to work on anti-gay initiatives, anti-gay marriage initiatives.
Okay.
So it's all kind of blown up this past week, and supposedly next week the city council is possibly going to start looking at doing an ordinance that several other cities in the state of Texas have, that you cannot discriminate in business against someone solely because their sexual orientation. You know, if this happened in Dallas or El Paso, even that company would be in trouble.
Okay. So where is the line then for? If it's a privately owned business, do they have that right to service? Because you see signs all the time that say, you know, we reserve the right to service whomever we decide. So where's the line drawn between their right to service who they want to service and...
it's true. I mean, you know, if this came in, I mean, the fact that with the part of what I've seen on this, you know, the fact that on their website, where the couple filled out the information to contact them, it has Bible scripture on it. It has, you know, the link on there, you know, what their definition of marriage is. There's a picture of the guy, of the husband and wife who own it, and their four kids. You should realize that is not going to be friendly. I mean, you know, there are certain things you have to... I mean, you know, this isn't like something, you know, it was kind of hidden, it came up there. Their website said it pretty clearly. You know, there's just certain things you kind of flash onto with that, you know. There is also a Christian Better Business Association. You know, you probably don't want to deal with organizations like that because they're probably not going to be friendly to our community. I mean, if you can't find a gay landscaper in Houston, he ain't looking hard enough.
Chris, I'm not messing.
I can understand the, you know, there's the outrage about that. But, you know, it's a private company.
Okay.
You know, we're not talking about, like, the Boy Scouts who get kickbacks from the government, get special deals. And this is a private company who is openly bigoted against gay people. You know, I'm sorry. If you're not going to read the entire website to see where these people... I mean, it's not like they weren't referred to it. They did a Google search, supposedly, is what they told the people. So, yeah, I don't have too much sympathy for it if you're not going
to
do enough research into this
to really know.
To find out. And then to, you know, have this kind of just spread around and become this viral email in Houston.
Yeah.
Yes, it's discrimination. But, you know, it's not like it's unexpected if you paid attention
to what they were
read.
Actually advertising.
Yeah. And, you know, with the HRC. You know, I mean, we've talked about the HRC on the show a lot, you know, especially with our slant on T-inclusiveness. And the HRC has been very slow in coming. They basically give lip service in that. But you're also talking about an organization that last month gave their National Visibility Award to Lance Bass and whatever his boyfriend's, Lucan Haken, whatever the good-looking guy is from Amazing Race. They gave them the Visibility Award because Lance was dragged out of the closet by CBS and Page Six of the New York Post, because they kept, you know, they kept mentioning the fact that Lance Bass and this guy were, and this hot, openly gay guy are seen at several gay clubs. And because he finally decided to come out after denying it for years and years, he was given the Visibility Award.
Okay.
And there are some people that are upset with that.
Okay.
So the HRC is not necessarily in touch with...
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway, but they beg enough. They should be a little bit more visible than they are. And the response that I received from them concerning this Michael Sandy issue was very upsetting to me. Also, in this commentary, the NAACP is not without... lash or two against them, because they have not come out. They have not said anything. But anytime a black female makes a statement about being raped and being written on with racial epithets, they are on that immediately. And then to come to find out in some instances here most recently is that that was not true. So the NAACP is certainly at fault, but I think that whole same gender loving issue is just really an issue for them, and someone needs to call them to the carpet about that. And they have really lost their effectiveness as far as issues are concerned. They have been unwilling to go forward with the times. And again, it's not about people agreeing with another person's sexuality, but when people are attacked for that reason, then we need to make a stand and let people know there's another way that you can show your discord or your unagreement with someone, and you take that to the political arena, whatever you have to do, but you don't take people's lives for that. So I would certainly, if there's someone who's a part of HRC who has another viewpoint on this or know of any upcoming events or statements that HRC is going to make in reference to this, I would be appreciative to know.
I've got it right here.
Oh.
They actually have issued a statement.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
What's the date on that?
October 18th.
Okay.
Statement by Human Rights Campaign President Joe Solmonese on the hate crime against New York resident Michael Sandy.
Okay.
Human Rights Campaign President Joe Solmonese made the following statement on the attack and subsequent death of Michael Sandy, a young gay African-American man from New York City. The attack comes on the heels of the FBI hate crimes report that did not include New York statistics, said Solmonese. Quote, the Human Rights Campaign mourns the death of Michael Sandy, a member of our community, and our condolences go out to his family for their loss. We have been following the developments of the attack to learn more about the case, and we will continue to work with local organizations involved.
Mm-hmm.
The senseless attack comes on the heels of the annual FBI report on national hate crime statistics, which indicates that crimes against GLBT persons continue to be a serious problem for our communities and our nation. It is even more sensitive when the dual nature of race intersecting with sexual orientation. It is ironic that this year's FBI report did not include crimes committed in New York and many other jurisdictions, with sexual orientation remaining among the most common bias crime categories in the United States. It is critical that state and local jurisdictions address these crimes and report them to the FBI.
Okay.
And then there is just a little tagline. HRC is the America's largest civil rights organization working to achieve gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender equality.
Okay.
So they did issue a statement. I thought, I figured it's for giggles, I'll check over on their website, and they do have that portion on there.
Okay. Well, my congratulations to HRC for that. I really appreciate that and thank them for that. I had not seen them. What's today? The 21st or the 20th? Okay.
Yeah, this was on Wednesday.
Okay. What, the 18th was on Wednesday? No, when was the 18th? Wednesday? Okay. Okay. Well, that is good to know that that is finally out there. We also want to talk about your duty in the upcoming election and voting, I believe, next week in the month of November. I encourage you to get out, exercise your right to vote, take the time out, and figure out what the issues are that are on the ballot. Get involved, make your vote, and make it count. And it certainly will count if we go out and we make sure that we are recognized and that we show up in numbers for that. I'm really not sure if Chris, if you're able to pull up what some of the initiatives or what some of the issues are on the upcoming ballot. I know it's like A through H or something like that, or A through G or something.
Oh, local?
Like that. Yeah. For us. And I think they're just mostly about spending, right?
Well, I do know the one G that's about the airports.
Okay, and the money staying at the airport, too. Money collected at the airport stays at the airport.
I hadn't heard much about it, but the one thing I thought was very interesting, I had seen the billboards and decided to check out their website and was looking at it. And, you know, when you go to their website for the Prop G, it's interesting. There's this joint letter from Continental Airlines and Southwest Airlines. Uh-huh. Talking about, you know, why you should vote for Prop G.
Okay.
That's the only thing from those. But I'm a person who notices these sorts of things, and since I used to work for Continental, I notice these things a little bit more. Every one of the billboards that says vote for Prop G, before it was a vote for Prop G billboard, it was a Continental Airlines billboard.
Okay.
Politics. Like A through F, I think, are about improvements, city improvements like drainage, police, and so forth. Let me see here.
I think those are, the main issues concerning spending and how city funds will be spent for what police, additional police, firefighters, and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's the best place to look on this. I went to the Chronicle website.
Okay. But in other news, we have there's been a lot of talk about ex-Senator Foley and all of his shenanigans and the Catholic priest that has come out and said that he had what he believes now was inappropriate behavior or interaction with ex-Senator Foley. But I do not say, I mean, where is it, are they going to prosecute Senator Foley? I mean, I just want to know, is he going to do jail time?
Well, technically, what it is technically, he didn't do anything
with the
illegal.
Pages. Okay.
Because first of all, the only time he had sex with people who were pages was after they left the program and they were 18 years of age.
Okay.
Even if he would have diddled them while they were still pages, in the District of Columbia, the age of consent is 16.
Okay.
So even if he would have actually pursued and had sexual relations with the page, it would not be illegal. It would be unethical under most likely congressional law, under the policy of the Congress. The fact is that even though he had these conversations with those people under 18, and even though they mentioned about meeting up and providing alcohol and all that, because he actually didn't take the steps to do it.
Okay.
That's why, I mean, if you watch Dateline, you know, to catch a predator,
they have to show up.
They have to show up, and then you ask them, hey, bring condoms and beer so that there is that intent proof, you know, or get naked in the garage sort of thing. And that's this kind of this gray area where the FBI is saying, look, we wouldn't investigate this unless he actually went to go meet these kids. So there is a good chance that nothing will happen
to him.
The twisted part about it is the fact that if he does actually get prosecuted on anything, it will be under the Adam Walsh Act for Missing and Exploited Children that he was co-chair of.
Very ironic.
That he wrote the rules. But like I said, basically what it was, he was smart enough is that he enticed, he lured, and he got these kids all hot and bothered from 16 through 17, and then when they turned 18, that's when he actually did something with one of them so far. You know, the other ones, the first one that came out, you know, he had that chat with him when he was, that kid was 18, when he asked him, you know, how big you are, you know, what's your size, those sorts of things. So it's a gray area from what I've heard on that lately. And, you know, it's an interesting, you know, when the story first broke, you know, Jimmy and I did a radio play of the IMs, the first IM that came out. And so we read it, you know, it was a little naughty, you know. I mean, the only really naughty part was asking, you know, how big is it?
He should. It's just way too much. Those are my tax dollars he was using to do all of that mess.
That's the one part about it is the fact that, I mean, if they want to get him on anything, you know, you got to connect the dots of what he's admitting to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the fact is, if he only sent these dirty IMs when he was drunk. So we've got that point that he's admitted to. And the other IM that he sent, they've traced it back, that he was sending naughty IMs on a vote. that he took a break from the floor where they were voting on a defense spending bill. So if you connect dot A to dot B, he was drunk while voting on the floor of Congress.
Exactly.
Now, of course, since he's resigned, you know, there's...
But is his pension still intact? And he needs to be penalized some type of way.
Well, what they could...
And they need to hit him financially.
What they could do is, even though he's out of office, I believe it's still in effect for him. And actually, I don't know if the impeachment clause goes to members of Congress.
Okay.
But, you know, you can be impeached after the fact. And one of the things, even if you've resigned, you go through the impeachment. If impeachment goes all the way through, you lose your pension, lose your benefits. And the most important part about it is you can't run for any political office ever again.
I don't want him running for the tidy bowl man.
Well, that's the thing. You couldn't run for dog catcher if you've been impeached.
Okay.
But like I said, you know, the part of this is people knew about this years ago, and it was just kind of ignored.
Ignored.
Whether or not, you know, there's been page scandals over the years, you know. It was interesting watching, you know, Barney Frank last night on Real World with Bill Maher, you know, considering the fact he had his sex scandal in Congress. That's what outed him, is when his boyfriend slash prostitute was running a whorehouse out of his apartment. You know, last week we had the first congressman who got busted for having sex with his page.
It's too much.
I mean, actually physically having sex, got reprimanded, or I think it was censured in the Congress, which was basically them put a slap on the wrist on him. He went back, and his constituents sent him back to Congress 5 times. even though they physically knew. He was fooling around with a 16-year-old, took him to Europe, and all the other sorts of stuff. Like I said, you know, this happening in Washington, D.C., 16-year-old is legal.
It's too much. Yeah. Your president has decided he will not change his tactic in Iraq, where during the month of October has seen one of the highest number of killings of American soldiers. I believe yesterday it was up to, what, 74, 75?
Something like that. Hold on, I have to step in and do something a little bit, something of sort, instead of the time thing at the top of the hour. KPFT and Pacifica Foundation are working to democratize radio and giving you an opportunity, the listener, to vote for how the station is run. Elections are coming up, and here's a statement from one of those running for the local station board.
Here at KPFT, your vote matters most. Now here's a word from one of our candidates.
Hello, listeners. My name is Wesley Bethune, and I wish to serve you on the LSB. In real estate, it's all about location. And in media, it's all about timing. Music overwhelmingly occupies drive time, and progressive voices are relegated to less desirable times. I believe that more parity between the music interests and the news and issues interests will help KPFT have a stronger voice and get stronger support. We can all get along if we try. And isn't that better than having longer pledge drives or pursuing corporate underwriting? I'm Wesley Bethune, and if you elect me to the board, I will challenge the LSB to be more transparent. And I'll work to bring back regular town hall meetings to ensure that your concerns and interests are heard by the board and management. My name is Wesley Bethune, and I want your vote. Thank you.
This is KPFT Houston.
Okay.
When did they start that?
We're getting ready for elections.
Ah.
And so there's on the local station board who, quote unquote, helps set policy for the station.
Okay.
There are listener candidates and staff candidates.
Okay.
So for the listeners to have the opportunity to know who is running to represent them on the board, we have these one-minute promos that we do at the top of the hour. And then the staff ones here, we hear separately.
Okay.
So. I do have those prop things up now for you.
Okay.
On that. I've got the full... What I have is I pulled up a sample ballot.
Okay.
So you've got the weird wording that they put these things in. There's 8 propositions. Prop A, issuance of 320,000 street and drainage improvement bonds. And I think I saw in one of the news reports the neighborhood they're talking about, they need it.
Okay.
These are the older communities up on the northeast side.
Okay.
Where, the drainage ditches are just... they're covered in grass, and people, put their heavy trash out there weeks ahead of time, and it floods horribly.
Okay.
Prop B is the issuance of $135,000 for police and fire improvement bonds. Prop C is issue of $55 million park and recreational improvement bonds.
Park and recreational improvement. Okay.
$55 million. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me scratch it. Let me start over again. I think I got my glasses.
Okay, let's try again.
Let's change those words here.
Okay.
Prop A is $320 million in street and drainage improvement bonds.
Okay.
Prop B is $135 million police and fire improvement bonds. Prop C is $55 million park and recreational bonds. Prop D is $60 million general improvement bonds. Prop E is $37 million library improvement bonds. Prop F is $18 million affordable housing bonds. Prop G is a charter amendment. Shall the city charter be amended, preserving limitations on the growth of property tax revenues and water and sewage rates for the airport system? I guess that's a tax break for the airport.
Okay.
And Prop H would be a... Shall the city of Houston be authorized to collect and spend $90 million for increased fire, police, and emergency medical services without raising the property tax rate? So there's two propositions there to help the police.
Okay.
Or first responders.
I do encourage everyone to go out and vote. Make your... It's very important that you do.
Because there are plenty of you know... We've got the governor's race. There's some state representatives out there. State representative, we've got the United States Senator.
Okay.
Up for re-election. You know, governor, lieutenant governor. And that, and, you know, all the fun stuff. You know, I mean, you've got...
We have to.
That's
about it for... I'm certainly... Yeah.
I'm confused looking at here on this one part. That's...
What are the election... give us the election dates.
It's on November 7th is the... it's the early registration... Early voting has already started. No, it's about to start. October 23rd through November 3rd.
Okay.
October 31st is the last day to apply for a ballot by mail. The general election is on November 7th. And you can go to... I believe it's harrisvotes.com.
Okay.
Now, I was getting a little confused there looking at the ballot. Yeah, I'm sorry, harrisvotes.org.
Okay.
Now, I was getting a little confused looking at the ballot because it doesn't...
it doesn't...
What?
Is it something that it doesn't mention?
It's not what I thought it was supposed to say.
Okay.
Tom DeLay, he was in District 22, correct?
Yes.
I thought it was supposed to, the ballot was still supposed to have
his Tom DeLay.
It doesn't say it on the sample ballot.
Okay.
And it's, and the part that also confused me is that there are two elections for District 22.
Okay.
So, and that's the part that first threw me, and that's now I'm seeing it. That explains why the one thing I'm seeing on the news where the one Republican is asking you to vote her in, vote her, click her name once, and then write her name in once. The way it is there's a special election to fill in from November until January.
Okay,
is a special election, and that's. There's a Libertarian going up against four Republicans.
Okay.
For that position, for the special election. And then the actual election, one that will of taking over the term in January, it's got a Democrat, a Libertarian, and a write-in vote.
Okay.
And I thought Tom DeLay's name was still supposed to be in there.
On there.
But it's not showing it in there. And so I know, like, there's the thing right now, Shelley Sekula Gibbs is running her campaign of, you know, vote for me for the special election, mm-hmm. where you can just click a button and there's my name.
Okay.
But then when it comes time for the actual election, you have to write her name.
Okay.
And of course, you know, you've got to spin the wheel, you know, and try to remember how to spell Shelley Sekula Gibbs, which, you know, is bad. But considering the fact that one of the other Republicans in there, if you want to do the same thing for him, it's Gimbesco Tao Tron.
Oh, okay. So he can basically hang it up.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah, because... People go with
Mickey Mouse is a hell of a lot easier to spell.
They're going to go with the path of least resistance, so they may want to think about changing their names. I need a song.
You need a song?
Yes, and it should be CD number 2, Rhythm, Country, and Blues, whatever number it is. That's the one. Did you see it?
Yeah, I got it ready.
Oh, okay.
It's cute. So we'll take a music break for what we're doing next.
Thank you.
that was Al Green and Lyle Lovett. Funny how time slips away.
I love that CD. It's if you look at it, there's a mix of country singers and R&B singers, and so the entire CD is made up of old tunes like that redone in duet style with a country singer and R&B singer. So I don't know. They had a special on Channel 8 years ago covering that CD, and I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. And I loaned it to someone several years ago, and they never gave it back, so it took me like that entire 2 years to find it again, so I'll hopefully hold on to it this time and not lose it. We are fastly approaching the end of the year, and soon coming up will be the holidays after Halloween. I think it's just full force drive after that.
Well, they already got Christmas stuff up in the stores.
I know. It's amazing how fast time, hence the song.
Yeah.
But I know one of the issues that we'll be facing some people is being alone during the holidays. And I know this is a huge jump from politics to this, but it just kind of fell on me here a second as I was thumbing through some things. And one of the things I always pose to people who get into this depression mode during the holidays is, are you really ready to be in a relationship anyway? And there are some signs that will let you know that you're not ready to be in a relationship, and I want to give people those. One of them is, if you imagine that a relationship will raise your low self-esteem, you're not ready to be in a relationship. If you look to a relationship to give your life purpose that you now think it lacks, you're not ready for a relationship. And if you have very few healthy, if you've had very few healthy, caring relationships of any sort now, and you figure a lover is a good place to start, then that's not a good sign that you're ready for a relationship. So I want people to, as they enter into the holidays, not concentrate so much on the lonelies or not being able to participate as a couple in some of the festivities, taking a critical examination of your state of mind. Are you in a place emotionally and spiritually to actually be a part of a relationship, to be considered a couple? I know one of the things I hear all the time is, my better half or this person and it makes me whole. I have a seminar that states only two halves only make a whole mess. So if you consider, you know, I have a better half, then what are they doing with you? I heard a sermon today. I went to church. I go to church on Saturdays. And the pastor made a statement that we should always marry up or date up at least. Each party should think that they're dating up. So that's certainly important, but we have to really be cognizant and think very clearly about if we're prepared or if we're actually ready to be in a relationship. I have recently gone on to Match.com and looked at, has anybody tried that?
I've used that one.
Okay, what happened with it?
I'd never tried that one.
Okay. It's, we're going to leave that one right. you made a good decision.
Well, my thing is that, you know, I have to go for a specialty.
Okay.
You know, I fit into a special category. Uh-huh. You know, basically, something like Match.com doesn't necessarily cater to a larger person like me.
Okay.
On that part. So
okay.
Why go on there and get totally disappointed when there's when I can lean towards ones that are geared more to me.
Towards. Okay. That it's something, believe me. There are some mantras that I want to encourage people to go into the next year with. But in order to do that, it really would be a good idea to start now. And one of those is things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. That's by Joanne Goth. I believe it's Goth. And I think going into next year, 2007, we really need to examine some things. One of them is make sure you define and know who you are going into 2007. And you can give at least try to come up with at least three things that you know about yourself without a doubt. Three things that are concrete in your life that are a definition of who you are, and start with that as a foundation for personal growth. That's so necessary for all of us. And give yourself three turnkey events in your life that have helped define who you are. We all need the mold or the makings of who we are, what helped define who we are and how we got to the place we are in our lives right now. And please figure out how you've benefited from your experiences. Don't have lived a life and not know the benefit of the experiences that you have had, whether they be good or bad, because if not, you will be bound to repeat them until you actually get the lesson. One of the other points I want to make concerning this personal growth going into 2007 is a statement: the most worthwhile effort I have ever undertaken is responsibility for my own life. It's hard and it's worth it. That's a quote by LeVar Burton. We need to define for ourselves what is being in control of our lives. A friend of mine made a statement yesterday at breakfast that he was tired of life living him instead of him living life. And I think that's so important. I believe because of the age factor, he's concerned about going on in age and not having lived a full life, or not trying to be morbid, but taking it to a step that I can't remember who made this statement, but they said one of the richest places on earth is the graveyard, because there are an innumerable amount of dreams and hopes that have died with people because they failed to take the initiative to live a full and complete life. So we must define for ourselves what being in control is, and finding that control for our lives. One of the other points I like to make is a statement by Eric V. Kopaj. It says, "On this day, I pledge neither to shy away from growth in myself nor to require perfection in order to like myself. I will recognize through self-love that I am in a continual state of renewal and evolution." And that point, in layman terms, simply relates to we need to stop searching for perfection in ourselves and other people, and instead turn that energy towards a pursuit of excellence. If we could pursue excellence instead of perfection, I believe we would be a much happier society, and that we would find personal growth a much easier path, or a much easier undertaking, rather than trying to find perfection in ourselves or in relationships. This pursuit of the perfect body, the perfect mate, the perfect job, the perfect car actually does not exist. It's a huge figment of society that they have pushed off on us, and we've actually bought into it and have made our lives miserable. But the pursuit of excellence is certainly something that we can all do, and we can all pursue with a vigor that will be a most fruitful and worthwhile endeavor. But again, going back to single people during the holidays, if you are one of those who deals with depression or some sort of attitude or character, not character, but attitude change, if you find it a little harder to deal with than maybe the rest of the year, you certainly would want to maybe find a support group in order to maybe deal with the holidays that are coming up, so you can be around like-minded people and maybe avoid that. We are trying to, for 2007, form a group that will be responsible for keeping each other accountable for goals and different aspirations in our lives. So I'll certainly bring more information to you about that during the month of November. But I believe Paul Guillory attempted to start a group in this same vein a couple of years ago, and it started off really good, but I think something happened concerning a location and a meeting place, and it was disbanded to the dismay of a lot of the participating members. So we certainly want to try to bring that back for you and give you details on that and actually have a meeting place. Because if some of you may know, the men's gathering does not meet anymore. And it was certainly a decision that I made to actually disband that, because it was actually in need of a new direction and new blood. And there was no one wanting to take the helm. And I had actually taken it as far as I could take it, where I could take it to, and it actually needed to be taken to another level. And there was no one at the time willing or able to actually do that. So we are going to look into restarting that at the beginning of the year. And I will certainly sit down and make some phone calls to people and apologize for the abrupt ending of that. But it really needs a new direction, and we certainly want to bring that back because it is needed. And people ask about it, what happened to the men's gathering, why don't you have it anymore? So we're certainly going to be looking into that in the following month and try to bring someone on board who will be willing to facilitate and have a location that is permanent for us. Also, coming up in November, I will be doing a seminar entitled A Hungry Bastard Will Eat Anything. It is concerning relationships, and it's actually biblically based, this title, in Proverbs 27 and 17. I think the actual scripture says, to a full man, even honey tastes bitter, but to a hungry man, even the most bitter thing tastes sweet. So I just kind of paraphrased it, to a hungry bastard will eat anything. And it's in reference to the relationships that we get into with people who are really no good for us. So look for that, and I'll have more information about that in November, and it will be shortly after the November after hours broadcast, so you will be able to actually attend if you would like, because that information will be available to you then. Again, I encourage you to go out and vote. Take a serious look at what we are doing in Iraq and the number of men and women we are losing, not only their lives, but let's take a look at those that are being maimed and sent back home. Less than physically in stature than the way we sent them, and let's ask ourselves if in fact it is really worth that, the disruption of lives. Are we doing the right thing in Iraq, in Afghanistan? And let's be vigilant in contacting our senators and our representatives about the crisis in North Korea, because I think that's going to escalate a little bit more. Did they say anything about the guy's apology? Because supposedly he said he was sorry.
He supposedly told a Chinese envoy that he's sorry that he conducted the first test. I think the U.S. government's kind of playing it down, going, you know, he didn't tell us, sort of thing. But the one thing I don't get is, you know, with North Korea, Well, first of all, we know we're not going to invade them because they do have nuclear technology. They do have the weapons of mass destruction.
And they're not scared of us.
Which is why they tested the bomb. Is to go, hey, look, we've got this, so, you know.
Try us if you want
to. Yeah. You know, they've got, you know, 4 to 7 of them, and they've used up one. So, you know, they're not going to do too many tests because, you know, it's not like us. You know, we could blow off 100 and still, you know, have, you know, 900,000 to play with. He doesn't have this unlimited resource to do this. But, you know, there's a lot of talk on that of, you know, what's the next step and all that. You know, there's, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't think he's going to want to touch North Korea because, you know, there's already so many parallels that are drawn between Iraq and Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to go back to a place where we scored our first tie? You know, we scored a tie with Korea. Do you really want to go back to that playing field?
That was a good way to put it. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
That was...
But then again, well, besides that, you know, going from his past military experience, you know, he doesn't want to go to Southeast Asia anyway. He didn't go there before. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's the saber rattling portion on there. You know, I think China's more afraid of what he'll do there.
Exactly.
You know, it's one of the things where, you know, and I started hearing. I occasionally watch Fox News, partially for the comedy factor.
You don't find them slightly biased?
Well, that's why I watch them for the comedy factor. Okay. Same reason I watch the 700 Club. One of the funniest shows ever. But now, watching it there, and it's funny watching Fox News trying to put the North Korea blame on Clinton.
That was absolutely asinine. I'm like,
because Clinton had a plan where, you know, if you agree not to do the nuclear weapons, we'll help you with food, we'll help you with electric plants, we'll give you money, we'll do all this stuff. And then when Bush came in, he goes, nah, not going to do it. And that's what killed all of the, you know. So, well, it's fine. If you're not going to give us this, you're not going to give us that. Well, then we're going to start looking into using nuclear technology to do this. And then when, you know, all of a sudden we went into Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction, allegedly. They did at one time because we sold it to them. But they used it all up. And so this guy, you know, figured, hey, you know, we need to have something there and prove that we've got it. You know, Iran's doing the same thing. Hey, we've got nuclear stuff too, you know. But if they're not able to prove that they can actually do something with it militarily, you know, whoever goes in next, because even when they keep saying them talking about Hillary being the front runner for the Democratic Party, she's been pretty hawkish.
Yeah.
You know, apparently, you know, the same skills that made Bill kind of calm in office doesn't work on her. I mean, that's the fact. When you talk about on the Republican side, you know, the closest thing they talk on the Republican side is McCain. And he's kind of hawkish, too.
Doesn't he have one good arm? Or is that somebody else?
No, I think you're thinking McClellan, a representative out of Georgia, the one who's in the wheelchair.
No.
And Bob Dole only had one good arm.
That's who I'm thinking
Bob
about.
Bob Dole. But, you know, he's got one good arm, but, you know, he's got an extra leg that works better because of the little blue pill he pushes. I'm Bob Dole. I've got erectile dysfunction. Bob Dole. Elizabeth loves me now. Bob Dole.
I have a personality dysfunction, too. But
you know, I've made this comment already. I said, you know, Hillary's got one thing against her right now. She has something against her now that Bill didn't. Chelsea has turned into looking like a pretty good-looking girl. You know, Democrats have to have ugly children to become president. Chelsea Clinton back when
Chris
Bill.
You're sick.
Amy Carter.
Chris, you're sick.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. And now Chelsea's gotten kind of, you know, Gore couldn't do it because his girls looked pretty good. His kids here. John Kerry's kids, pretty damn good looking. You know, so that didn't work. You know, now we're getting in. Chelsea's looking pretty good. So, you know, Hillary doesn't have a chance. And I don't know what, I don't know how Barack's kids look.
I think they're pretty decent looking too.
So
I've heard he's too young though.
Well, I mean, there's been some of that talk of, you know, Clinton Barack. I'm sorry, no, it would be Clintonus. Obama. Or Clinton Obama.
Obama.
I want you to say that real fast three times.
Well, the problem is this. You know, my mind kept going like Teddy Kennedy and was thinking Osama. Because he called him Barack Osama once. Which I guess is about as bad as when Dick Armey, it was Dick Armey who referred to Tommy, Barney Frank as Barney Fag. But, you know, I could see a lot of people, you know, I would hate to be, you know, to play kind of the race feminist card here, I would hate to be Secret Service if it was a Clinton Obama thing. Mm-hmm. Because you've got the rednecks trying, you know, well, you'd have the Klan protecting Hillary because they wouldn't want to see a black president.
Okay.
And you'd have some Panthers wanting to take out Hillary so that Barack comes over. Secret Service is going to be scared to no end in that situation. And God help us now. And then the way that would all work out, then we got Pelosi coming up as president then. Which I think that scares the Republicans more than anything right now.
Yeah.
Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Because, I mean, that's the big thing they're talking about now, is if they take over the House. But they're saying some of the, even the Democrats may not even vote for her to be Speaker of the House.
That last name just triggers, comedians would have too much fun with that last name.
Pelosi?
Yeah, because there's some stuff in there, not cute.
But then again, now, what was that one name that we said on here that was running for office? It sounds like we have a drag queen running for political office this year.
Commissioner or something.
No. Commissioner of General Land Office, the Democratic Party candidate is Valinda Hathcox. I swear to God, it's a drag name. Valinda Hathcox.
Too much. Way too much.
And what was the other guy? The other name on here? Oh yeah, here we go. For Comptroller of Public Accounts, I just like the guy's name, Fred Head. We got Fred Head. Fred Head. This is a great word. We got Susan Combs versus Fred Head versus Mike Burris.
What a way to pick. This has been your host, Christopher Evans of Black on Black. Again, it's been wonderful as usual. The crew, absolutely amazing as always. Chris, you're a lifesaver. I love you dearly. Join us next month when we will delve again into more into this this personal growth going into the holidays and finding peace about the holidays, if in fact you have some issues with that because maybe you're single. So good morning to all. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. And we are out of here.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this, it's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed. See a real life conspiracy. Sign your name on a blacklist. And all this, it's American history.
Yeah, I screwed up.
Señora Nariño. Santa Madre would not hear. How those hours would go a-flying, and all too soon I'd hear him sighing in his soft and gentle way. Mi amor, mi corazón, I haven't seen him since that night. He can't cross the line, you know. He's wanted for some gambling fight. Perhaps it's better so. Yes, I sometimes sort of miss him. Since that last sad night I kissed him, left his heart and lost my love. Mi amor, mi corazón. Sometimes when I'm all alone,
they do here. Someone you can't let go, causing chain reaction like a domino. My fans understand, and you should be cool. I don't know what's gonna happen when I see you. You're gonna freak out and run away. We were having good times, so take the fun away. Relax, man, and get it right. I just wanna hang out, not spend the night. I ain't hitting on you if you're straight, but if you're gay, then that's great. I can add you to my list of many friends. Take it to the next level, it all depends on if you're my type, the kind of like. But no matter what, we can hang tight.
I need a guy who's mine, mine, mine. I need a guy all the time. But until then, I got my boys. We like to make lots of noise. Most of my friends are straight. We hang out till it's very late. Then we retire to a separate room. That I could be together with you.
Bring it home. Oh, baby, something crossed my mind. And I was thinking you'd look so fine in a velvet dress with heels and an ermine shawl. Oh, Luther, darling, heaven knows I've never put on women's clothes except for once my mother's camisole.
You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. I don't know. Which one? French Bitch. The last one. Number 11. That's the radio edit one.
To be free, one must give up a little part of oneself.
Hit the wrong button again.
Need to catch me. much higher. But if she gets too close, the vessel's gonna expire.
Here at KPFT, your vote matters most. Now here's a word from one of our candidates.
I'm Emmett Abati Doe. As a boy growing up in the 50s, I heard repeatedly said of the German people and nation, how could they have allowed a Hitler to happen? I pondered the fundamental question at issue for decades. What is the responsibility of citizenship? And what would I have done had I been a full-grown man of that age and at that time? Now I know. Because I am that man, living in a mirror image of that age and time. My choice has been to resist, to stand, to fight. Should the question be asked, what did my granddaddy do to stop the wave of American Zionist fascism from continuing to consolidate power and escalating the suffering and death of the peoples of the world to unimaginable levels, I will have it said of me he was a resister. Join me for the fight of our lives to reclaim KPFT and Pacifica. I'm Emmett Abati Doe.
This is 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
If I would have known that was that one was coming up, I wouldn't have played it.
Oh.
Ernesto, if you're listening, 107 won't be on this show again unless you come in and push the button.
Okay.
Since that person is... come in here and made homophobic comments, I'll be damned if we're going to give him airplay on
gotcha.
This show again.
Okay.
The music we played coming up into this last song was Pussy Tourette's French Bitch,
mm-hmm.
Sans Dirty Words, from the soundtrack of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Sugar Daddy. Then before that was So Say, I Need a Guy.
Yeah, I like that one.
Music Bear, Spanish is a Loving Tongue. Jay Spears playing on my team. Yeah, that's all we played. Okay.
That was...
No, wait, there was one in the middle there. There was
quite a nice set.
There was Suede in the middle of
oh,
there.
Oh, yes, Suede.
Love Me Like They Do in the Movies.
Mm-hmm.
That was in there.
Okay.
Swing. Write down the rest of it later. It's time for Roundtable.
Yes, it is. And we've got quite a crew in here tonight.
We've got people.
Who have we got?
You can use your own mic. Give him that mic.
Hello.
Well, hi.
I'm not giving you any excuse to get closer.
He's oh taken at the moment.
Well, not necessarily.
Nothing's
okay.
official.
How does he know ring on that finger?
right, honey.
Merlin and Andy and who else?
David.
Hey, David.
And we also have Robert.
And Robert
stepped out for a moment. Robert seems to have stepped out for a moment.
He likes to hover in the background.
Yes, he does. He hovers in the background. He's, yeah.
So,
but he'll be back in a minute, hopefully.
Okay.
Anyhow. So, no machine on my body to make Chris crack up this week.
Yeah, no more cow
parts. That was too funny.
That was funny.
Yeah, the mechanical Elsie. Elsie the mechanical cow.
Yes. It was a sucking machine, actually, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, oddly enough.
It didn't even have lips.
And believe me, it really sucked. Anyhow. So, what are you looking at, Chris? You got this look on your face.
Well, since the Houston Voice has turned into what it's turned into.
Fluff, you mean?
I went to their website.
Mm.
Is there anything of more substance there?
Well, there was one thing. That was a Halloween special thing.
Well, in the latest edition, they did have an article about a lesbian.
Yeah. Well,
and they had a thing about that movie we talked about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hellbent.
And one other thing, I will have to say this with reading this. If you're a certain gay couple living in the Heights, pick up the Houston Voice because...
You're in it?
No. Well, they're on the website. There's a category in the classified section called landscaping. And yes. I'm pretty sure this guy here will work with a gay couple.
Thank you.
Just my assumption. I mean,
they don't ask questions either.
Yeah. And if you're going to use a church bulletin to find your landscaper, make sure you go to Resurrection first.
Yeah.
Just a subtle
just a thought.
There's been a thread on Lone Star Activist this past week about the garden guy.
Garden guy?
Yes. A man and a woman who own a nursery, and they refused.
Yes, they did.
To do landscaping to a male couple because they are homosexual.
Poor babies.
And the wife wrote it in an email to this guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, we don't do any work for homosexuals.
Right.
So that has been just a fury.
Yeah, but the thing is this. When you go to their website for the garden guy and you scroll down a little bit, it says, we support the marriage of one man plus one woman. Here's a Bible. Here's a little scripture thing about what marriage is. And here's a link to where you can go to help fight gay marriage. If you knock on the door of the Klan and you get beat up, you can't cry foul.
Well, evidently they didn't read that far down.
Apparently so.
Then it's not the couple's fault. If you didn't scroll down past the loving picture of the man and the woman and their four children that they bred.
And the baseball bats in the kids' hands.
I'm sorry. When I saw that part of it, I lost my sympathy.
Well, maybe they did. Maybe these people didn't even go to the website.
No, they did, because that's how they contacted. There was a little contact us form, and they sent it thing, and that's when they made the conversation. So they went to the website first because they Googled them.
God.
And it's so funny, you know. Channel 11 said they wish to remain anonymous, and their name is being shown on Channel 2. Uh-huh. I think they're broadcasting from their backyard. And Channel, the Chronicle lists their name, or at least one of the members of the couple. But
you know,
it's just like I saw during when Christopher mentioned the segment. If you can't find a gay-friendly landscaper in Houston,
you're not trying.
No.
Exactly.
That's true.
As a small tangent here of that, saddest covers of a National Geographic that I ever saw was, and since this leads into, discussing the subject of hate on some level, The saddest picture I ever saw was of a little Irish boy, no more than 6 years old, carrying a baseball bat, and he wasn't going to a baseball game.
Yeah. Mm.
And, I mean...
Maybe it was Rounders.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And it just leads into that whole thing of... you know, this family that we're talking about, you know, they got kids. And you know, kids learn this stuff from their parents.
Of course.
First.
You've got to be carefully taught.
You've got to be very carefully taught, yes. And the frightening thought that somebody so young could... I mean, we're not born hating people. You know, you put a bunch of...
Right.
A bunch of six-year-olds in a kindergarten room, and most of them are not going to cry the N-word at the...
No.
Or the, you know, mm-hmm. or F for whatever, you know, at another kid. So it was sad to see a picture like that on a magazine and know that hatred is bred into people so young.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, however... If you do show up as the only person of color at a KKK rally, you are the guest of honor in a way you don't want to be.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I'm not going to show up as the guest of honor at a Southern Baptist convention. You know, they're not going to look at me as, oh, no. Sure, you can talk.
No.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
It's not a comical roast either.
Mm-hmm. No. This is not the Dean Martin roast, you know?
It's just...
They really will fry you.
It's surprising that in this day and age that people would even do that,
mm-hmm.
Advertise their hate for other people. And what always amazes and shocks me is that I look at religion as... A loving belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really don't like when people use religion to further hate.
Mm. It goes back to that whole thing of...
But so many religions do it.
Yeah.
Right.
They say, I cannot help but go back to the thing that they say, you know, they're always spouting this phrase, or at least Christian mm-hmm. groups are always spouting the phrase, God is love.
Yeah.
Okay. If God is the embodiment of love, then how can you have a website that said God hates?
Yeah, I know.
Look, isn't that a contradiction in terms that which is love can hate somebody or some group of somebodies? Mm-hmm. I mean, GodHatesFags.com, mm-hmm. you know?
Well...
How does God hate God is love?
I don't get it.
I got into a discussion with one person one time, and it's like, you know, if God truly... hated homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
and you believe in an all-powerful, all-knowing God,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then if God truly hated homosexuality, wouldn't he be in the heavens and go,
it's gone.
Gone, done.
Abortion.
Yeah. Gone, done, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Muslims.
Yeah. And God is supposed, and again, God's supposed to be all-powerful.
Yeah.
That means God was smart enough to know what he was creating. And he, she, it was supposed to have created absolutely every molecule of everything that exists,
mm-hmm.
including homosexuals.
Yeah, we're nature's own birth control.
Birth control. I just, you know, this is a little bit, this is actually, you know, something that's kind of been on my mind this week because a friend of mine let me borrow a DVD of the Laramie Project.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At the movie mm-hmm. Laramie Project, which just... And I hadn't seen it in ages, so I'd forgotten most of it. It was just... It's a little strange to see... And I realize it was actors portraying, but they were portraying the actual words of the people they had, had interviewed.
That's right.
And to hear some of these people come up with these cockamamie, back-ass, redneck reasons for disliking queer people was just like, it's like... And they kept saying, one of the things that keeps going through the movie is, Laramie's one of those live and let live kind of places. I'm like, apparently not. since you left the guy strung up to a fence.
Just prove to the world that's not the case.
You just proved that's not the case, and it's a live and let, I think not. But I mean, it's a microcosm, but there's a lot of places like that to this day.
Yes.
So it's hatred that's preached. Right.
And some of us get a double-edged sword. Christopher, probably, because being black and being gay.
Well, yeah, he talked about this instance of the guy up in New York who... the HRC took, 10 days before they issued a brief statement saying, we're sorry about, our condolences out to the family, but nothing past that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Andy, you are Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that there's, you have a double discrimination thing going?
A lot of times, yes. It's a double-edged sword, and then some as well. Like Merlin was talking about, we're not born to hate or be prejudiced. We are taught.
Yeah. Yes.
We are taught.
And this is, and again, in our circle of friends, even among pagans, there are pagan folks who discriminate out there, It's a little strange. We're some of the most, open people in the, of many religions, we're the most open-minded among a large section of the spiritual paths, and yet there are bigots in our belief system too.
Of course,
which just blows my mind. it's just strange to me that. Of course, a lot of the people we know weren't born pagan, we're only now getting into generations where people are born into pagan families.
I think the thing about the Bible was that it's used as an excuse to hate us.
Keep talking.
Give me on the phone with someone.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that there's.
Well, all just, Heinz 57, predominantly I'm Asian, but what about the other factors?
Yeah.
Another makeup of Andy here.
Uh-huh.
I can walk in somewhere and people say, oh, you look Native American. Well, it must be the long hair. Are you going to discriminate me for being a hippie? Wait a minute. You don't know me.
Uh-huh.
This long hair is for a reason. It's called for locks of love. Oh, uh-huh. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah. That's like... we
get to know somebody before you judge them.
Uh-huh.
Of all the groups that are, preaching hate out there, why judge somebody else when you haven't even looked at yourself in the mirror?
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that it doesn't have a group. Hate doesn't have a one group that does all the hating.
Mm-mm.
I think I've seen
don't forget we also segregate our hatred, remember? We can be all Americans, but then it's like, well, okay, you have your Asian Americans, you have your Latin Americans, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to segregate?
It's within the gay community. We separate out into our groups too. Mm-hmm. We have the gay pagan group. We have the gay Asian groups. We have the gay black groups. We have the gay, because it seems like the one time that we become just the gay people is like Pride Parade, you know? Okay. It's like, but you go to that and you see all those separate groups in the parade.
Okay, is that celebrating diversity or is that just condoning the diversity and the differences? Condoning.
Yeah, it's a wonder because I think, and that's a good question because I think I wonder if we truly were diverse and accepted that diversity mm-hmm. just as it is, it right. exists.
Right.
Would people feel the need to have groups that separate out into the different nationalities, ethnic groups,
religions,
you know, I don't think we would. I think, you know, just, mm-mm. you know, I think something, what's been happening to Montrose lately is sort of an interesting cross-section of that. On some level, it is really, really sad to see a lot of the stuff that used to be here go away. Lobos, Crossroads, gay shops, gay owned okay. business, run owned businesses, and all of that. But is that because is it happening less and less because people don't want to have those shops, or because we feel more and more part of the larger community?
Well, part of it comes from the fact that, you know, you can go online and you can get your stories, you can get your books, you can find out your history,
yeah.
you can download the music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the case of those two institutions, you know, one of them did have issues with the gay community,
mm-hmm.
Especially certain aspects of them.
Yes.
And the other one basically ran his business more of a, ran his business more of a charity than a business,
mm-hmm.
and figured anyone who walked in the door asking for a job should get one.
Yeah.
And, you know, couldn't justify having all the employees that he had.
But on some level, what I guess I mean is now we have one place, one gay-owned place
yeah.
that covers all of those bases that the other two used to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really stepping up to be other places like that right now. You know, it's just that one area,
yeah.
and nobody's saying we need that anymore.
But see, you can go into a Barnes & Noble, you can go into a Borders, and there's a gay section.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When I lived out in Copperfield,
mm-hmm.
I could go into Hollywood Video, I could go into Blockbuster Video, and I could rent gay-themed videos. Uh-huh. Not yeah. the porn, the gay-themed movies.
Which 10, 15 years ago would have been like...
Which, yeah. you know, you had to come into the Montrose, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so there is a diversification that's out in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, we have diversity because sometimes we seek recognition, you know, for being different, and we need to stand out there for so many causes.
Mm-hmm.
But see, also, now, you know, we keep talking about, you know, we've come a long way and all that.
Mm.
Here's a little thing, a little story I alluded to at the beginning of the show.
I'm here.
Was that the show Grey's Anatomy
mm-hmm.
has the potential of losing one of its doctors. Coming up here soon, Isaiah Washington, who plays Dr. Burke,
mm-hmm.
because a couple of days ago he physically attacked
Dr. McDreamy.
Dr. McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah,
because
I don't even watch the show, and I call him that. That's scary.
Because supposedly Isaiah Washington was upset that one of the actors mm-hmm. was late right. for the program for the taping. And Patrick Dempsey went and defended him.
I'm just saying that we're...
And Isaiah Washington basically grabbed him, put him up against the wall, and said something to the effect of, "Look, I'm not your faggot knight.
Hmm.
I don't have to put up with this." And as a result of this, there's some talk about not wanting to have him on the show anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's also meant that the actor T.R. Knight, mm-hmm. who plays George, has come out as being gay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I heard about that this week. It was like, I was talking about that very subject a little while ago with somebody. So.
And I'll admit, you know, when I saw him on that one or two episodes of Law and Order Criminal Intent, you know, that's when I found out that Grey's Anatomy was coming up, because I saw him, I go, oh, he's kind of cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And found out that this new show, Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm. And it's I was like, oh, wow, there's a gay guy on there. It's like, yay.
Which kind of explains why he's most recently been intimate with the Amazonian. the like, doctor who, you know, very scaringly looks like China doll. Joni Winnett? Winnett? Mitch, I forget what her real name is. She goes my China doll now.
Uh-huh. Well, we have to send out kudos to ER as well. Don't forget, they had a major character who was a lesbian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I haven't watched an episode of ER in years.
Well, shame on you.
Well, yeah, on Grey's Anatomy, he's not a gay character. He's a gay actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, eventually, I guess, with the fact of how his luck is going with women, they may turn him into a gay character.
That would be cool.
I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, getting syphilis from Alex in the first degree rather than having to go through that nurse again.
Yeah, because, you know.
The act, not the actual giving. Well, it's one of the things in there, he slept with a nurse that the one doctor gave the nurse syphilis, and then he got syphilis from the nurse.
Ooh.
So there was this, you know, this big scene where he attacks the guy going, you gave me syphilis. Mm-hmm. So,
nasty.
You know, rather going through that intermediary, if they were to...
Oh, yes,
that's
gotcha.
What I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm waiting for the Alex and George video to come out.
Well, as
don't forget, fandom people do that, so you might find one on that already.
As Harvey Fierstein once said on a certain late night and only once a month PBS TV show...
Yeah.
It's only late night here in Houston.
Yeah. Of course it is. We're in the middle of practically the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's like, do we need straight people? Of course we still need straight people.
Of course we do.
Who would play us on TV?
That's okay.
I mean, it's like, it would be an absolute miracle for a queer man to play a queer man on TV.
Well, just to be fair, you know, the power of liberals compels you.
I think that's only really happened once.
What, a gay man playing a gay man?
Yeah.
Please
tell me. Charles McKenzie on Brothers.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. God, this has been a long time. Is he dead?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I haven't seen... The only person I've seen in anything... And tell me, didn't that... What was the name of that guy? Paul Regina was one of the actors on that?
Uh-huh.
Is he queer?
I don't think so.
Because he keeps showing up in gay-themed movies. He was in It's My Party in the background, basically.
Well, yeah.
He was in a bunch of stuff.
He could be like Dean Cain, you know?
Yeah.
I only play a homosexual on television.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Sean Hayes to, you know.
Come out.
Please. And it's like, good goddess girl. You're lighter than the loafers than I am. Get over it.
But we're all friends of Dorothy now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know where I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Philip Charles McKenzie is not gay.
He's married with three kids? What?
Married to Alice LaPlaca.
Oh, for crying out loud. I actually know who Alice LaPlaca is. That's even more frightening.
Ah, that threw me for a loop. Actually, he's been married twice. Okay, but they don't know when he married her.
That's scary.
That threw me for a loop. Wait a minute. Yeah, and let's see.
I think...
okay, Philip Charles McKenzie, he was also in the show Out of Practice.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gay character in that.
For the 5 minutes that was on TV.
Normal, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Normal, Ohio.
I never saw that.
That was the short-lived one, I think, with...
Because we're not normal.
That was like... That was on... Wasn't that on for like three weekends? Three episodes?
Seven episodes got to air. That's the one with John Goodman played a gay man.
Right.
Oh, right, right.
The most normal gay man in America? big bubba of a dude who, you know... What? He was! He's always playing.
Yeah, we can't have fat gay men.
He was a.
Oh no 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 no!
No, it's just you don't.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Our community. Buffed, okay? Anytime they show people in our community on TV, they are either food critics, florists, or skinny
hairdressers.
Scrawny little hairdressers. Ugh. It was nice to see a guy who was just a bubba. And happened to be queer as a $3 bill. I mean...
He's a cute bubba.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, there was something very cute. There's something very cute about John Goodman. Even though he doesn't look like his, you know, Levi's days that he, you know, back in the day.
Well, bravo to Hollywood.
You know, he was...
For being comfortable playing a gay, you know, person.
A not stereotypical,
role.
You know...
Oh, gosh. You know, we're not all, you know... Leather queens or, you know, drag queens.
Drag queens or, you know, as I keep saying, as the people who run this show prove, we are not, you know, we are a cross-section of the not
we
normal.
We wouldn't be shown in the darkest dark room in the back room of Queer as Folk.
Oh, now that's not necessarily so.
There's not enough Vaseline to put on the lens to show our...
Oh, my. And we don't all speak with a lisp.
As we used to say on the show, we've all got faces made for radio.
And we all lisping. For attention here.
Here's a little story that's come across as of late here.
Yes,
lovesick teen texted during fatal crash.
What?
It's out of Atlanta.
Yeah, I heard about that.
A lovesick 16-year-old girl crashed her car into oncoming vehicle in a suicide attempt.
Ooh.
Counting down the moments before impact in text messages sent to the female classmate who spurned her.
Ooh.
The girl survived, but the woman in the other car was killed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a no good way to go.
No.
The teenager was charged Thursday with murder. The wreck occurred on October 4th.
Whoa.
There was what might be described as a countdown to the actual event. 10, 9, 8, then the crash. It's unclear whether the classmate and the message were intended to for responded to him or even read them as they were sent or afterward. Authorities said that the teen rammed her family's Mercedes-Benz head-on into a smaller car driven by a mother of three who was killed. Her daughter, who was in a safety seat, suffered broken ribs and other injuries. The teen was treated for an ankle injury, had told friends that she planned to kill herself after another female student at Holy Innocence Episcopal School refused to have sex with her. Witnesses told police the girl never slowed as she crossed over the turning lane and into oncoming traffic.
Wow.
In Atlanta's Buckhead neighborhood.
Ooh.
You know, I understand. I definitely understand the place you get to when you want to commit suicide. Tried twice as a teenager. Having said that, I think it's a truly selfish act to take anybody with you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I just...
Well, why couldn't she have aimed at a tree or something?
That's the next part. She's going to go in for mental counseling and be electronically monitored.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that is, especially when you're talking about, you know, the teenage condition and, you know, the hormones and all that. And...
You go
getting
hell.
Spurned with that. Yeah. You know, I'll admit, you know, it wasn't anything of a relationship. You know, it was just a hookup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was very despondent about it afterwards. And, you know, on the drive home, I had, you know, thoughts like that went through my head.
The cement wall looked pretty good to you?
Well, you know, when you take I-10... out to 290 and you get on the 610 loop.
Mm-hmm.
There's one lane that goes to 610 south and one lane that goes to 610 north.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why pick a lane? Just go straight ahead.
Oops. Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell are you thinking about? You know, and then I get over to 290 and I go, you know, my dim just gave me Vicodin and I've got vodka at home.
Oh. Yeah, you know.
And I'm going, what the hell are you thinking about? And, you know, this is all because, you know, some guy I tried to pick up at a bar and offered money to him to come and visit got lost, and I was that despondent and that bad of a state. I can understand where she may be coming from.
I understand her completely.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, the fact of...
I think we've all been at
although,
that point.
Yeah, you're straight.
And, you and as corny as it sounds, I mean, if you get through that period of your life, if you actually live... you know, you do understand that, you know, it's a very permanent solution to temporary problems.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's one of those, yeah, I mean, I've worked my way through that. And fortunately, I had some other situations that came up that I started going into counseling and, you know, worked through some of those stuff. And
I mean, it's but, I mean, the statistics on how many gay kids, you know, end up being suicide. You know, statistics is just a little mind-boggling. Because all too often they have a tendency of mentioning that little detail in their suicide notes.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they feel like, and sometimes they've been given good reason not to feel that.
Well,
know,
how many
by their families?
The mentors
who go,
do they
what
have?
The, you know,
I mean, in school,
exactly,
some people
right.
are in the closet
exactly.
because they're afraid of losing their job.
Mm-hmm.
They
in
can
this
go to the counselor.
Day and age, you know, it's like
right.
it's still an issue where there are places where you will lose your job. You know, you know, going back to the whole. Laramie, I mean, there's the Janine Garofalo character who's a teacher, you know, who's out of the closet and has been from day one of her job. It's like, how many teachers out there feel like they could do that in the real world, you know? you know, the world still... doesn't get it, you know.
Yeah. Pardon the pun, but that is across the bear.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like...
because not only that, a lot of teenagers who are comfortable in their own sexuality, and they know for sure, and that brings to the point where, you know, people say, well, are you... I was gay, or no, you are, or you're not. As simple as that. Not was, were. Come on.
Well, but, some people do split those fine hairs, you know, I was talking with some things of my sister-in-law today because her father has some medical problems right now. And you know, I told her, I said, you know, I once had, when I was younger and was donating blood, I was told I had these rare antigens and, you know, they need them for people with special needs and, you know, sickle cell anemia and all this other stuff. And I told her, I said, I'll send you over the little information they gave me of it. To see if it would help your father out, and I said if your doctor thinks it'll work, you know, I'm okay, and I'll tell the lie, you know, I'll commit the perjury to help if if it's something that would help him, because I told her, I said, you know, I legally can't donate blood. She was going, is it because you're gay? I said, yeah, but the way they worded is MSM, I'm a man who has sex with men. And, you know, I was talking with someone else about it. I said, well, you know, because we're going to hear another, you know, there's a little euphemism for it. And Christopher did use it. And it took me a second to realize he used it because he used the initials. And in the African-American community, there he called himself an SGL.
Yeah, single...
Same gender loving.
Same gender loving, yes.
And it's like, you know, there's little euphemisms that people want to put in there saying, you know, I'm not gay, I'm so-and-so, you know.
I hear all these different things and all these different euphemisms and whatever, and it just gives me a headache. I'm queer. Get over it. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just queer. Get over it. That just makes me crazy.
Yes, yeah, so you're happy who you are.
Yeah. I don't know.
And
I guess everybody has to get into their own space about that, but it just all these different type. That goes back to the separating out. I mean, it's like,
right.
I think we're all queer in some, even straight people have queer in them.
Moments, yes.
I have queer moments in them.
Yes.
Just, well, you know, there are videos to that effect.
Yeah, if you just go completely basic and all that, you know, and you use the broadest term of queer being strange or unusual, you know,
that covers an awful lot larger group of people.
Any straight couple that does not have sex in the missionary position, and the goal and the hope and goal of doing it is to produce a child. It's all queer.
Kind of queer, yeah.
It all falls under the thing, you know.
It's just, I listen to so many of these like. Separate terminologies and stuff, and it just starts to give me a headache. You know, I've listened. Even on this show, we've gone through several changes.
Oh yes,
particularly. Like, for instance, on the TV show which I mentioned earlier, invariably instead of saying GLBT, they'll say LGBT.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And basically, it depends on who writes it.
Over it.
Well, you know. You get into one of those things where I refer to it as the alphabet soup.
Yeah.
And yes, because of the fact that, you know, there's a penis on my body, I put the G first.
Yeah.
That's just the way I am.
It's just the way it is.
Usually if you see the L first, it means a woman has written it.
Well, and a great majority of the time, it's a woman who is the host these days of the opening of that particular show.
What show are you talking about?
In the life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. These days, it's usually a girl who, some famous actress, you know, or at least relatively well-known actress who's friendly to the queer community, or happens to be a lesbian, just hasn't said it, or whatever.
I say GLBT because it's easier to say.
Yeah.
GL, we're used to having words that
letters in a certain order.
Yes. Yeah. And LG, I kind of almost have to think about it before I say it.
It's easier to say queer
or
gay than it is to say homosexual.
I know. Hardly anybody uses that term anymore.
It's so many. And you know.
Well, don't forget, coming from a southern area, don't forget, a lot of times in the past, he's a confirmed bachelor.
Yes.
A confirmed bachelor, yes.
Yes.
How did my brother... I had a brother who once described himself, and since he's probably not listening, since he lives 1,800 miles from here, I can say this about him. He once referred to himself as a confirmed bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's 17 years older than I am, and I'm 38. And he has never had a girlfriend or a boyfriend in my entire lifetime. Or at least in the 34 of the 38 years I've been alive.
So is that the fourth sex, being asexual?
Well, that's why I was looking at the Weird Al Yankovic CD.
I know he would be queer. I used to steal his international mail catalogs from his room. I know he's queer. But he'll never say it. He will never have a relationship. And the idea of hugging another person drives him insane. Absolutely drives him insane.
Hmm. November 13th is the next time In the Life TV is on.
Ooh, yeah, which I love that show.
It's the 12th, 13th. It's Sunday night into Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At 1 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, they moved it
See,
up.
They...
Yeah, so it's 24 hours after you hear our show on the 12th.
Yeah,
is when
exactly. And the thing is, oddly enough, they have covered some subjects pertaining to the gay community that even we, you know, don't often cover.
You've got that national, you know. I mean, occasionally when I've listened to other show
and
radio with a twist, you know, they can get in some of the national people for something like that because, you know, they're willing to whore themselves out to something on that line.
He has such a way of putting that.
They're not going to pay attention.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that's the sort of thing you get with that national exposure.
True. I mean...
On that sort of thing. And unfortunately, you know, in live TV, and I don't think they have it on there now. I remember a couple of years ago when I was looking at the stuff for that. You know, they had a thing on there saying, you know, send Channel 8 a notice saying that, you know, put us on at a real time.
At a real time.
When other stations... I mean, let's put it this way.
And I stay up to watch that every month. I actually stay up to watch that. Not that I'm not already up, but I'm usually awake at that hour. And I make a point of making sure I see the show.
Well, isn't
because
it
because they do cover some
show?
Really cool stuff.
It's a documentary and a talk show. Now,
basically,
you can have Ellen, and when Rosie O'Donnell was on the air, they were during primetime TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this
and
is
in the case of Ellen is a primetime show. She doesn't mention being a lesbian every day of the week on her show, but it has been, you know, it's not like it's the grand secret anymore.
Right.
You know, the only, and I will say on a different level as far as Ellen is concerned, when every episode of the Ellen sitcom became about her being a lesbian, that's when that show went downhill.
Yep.
It was a great show, but every show, but the point is, I can be queer without every conversation I have with everybody I know being about my being queer.
Well, now, what, you know? Now there was an interesting thing. I saw a video on, it was taken off of YouTube, of the, from the Ellen show where she was, I forget who she was with there, but they brought out this huge python.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the python wrapped its tail around and actually...
stuck its, in a place it didn't need to be, yeah.
Yeah, python to pudenda.
Oh, my.
And so they did make the comment that it did happen to be a female python. So it was a lesbian python moment. And let me see here.
This is quite yonic.
Okay,
oh,
well,
my
I tried
God.
There. It didn't work.
It's just, you know...
I was trying to find a backwater town to, you know, find out, you know, what time they air in the life, and unfortunately the one I picked, they don't show in the life.
Yeah.
Backwater town.
I tried Des Moines, Iowa.
It's that backward, huh?
Yeah, so where's a good red state place?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minneapolis, okay.
Are we finding it more accepting that the stereotypes of gay, lesbians, and bisexuals and sitcoms, dramas? I mean, for example, like America's Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm. I was so disappointed when the John Goodman show went off the air because, one, I didn't get to see a single episode before it went off the air.
No.
And two, TV had spent so much time showing stereotypes, showing, you know, the most obnoxiously stereotypical parts of our community, that it was nice to see a character who wasn't. I mean, even the great show, and I've watched this show a few times, Ugly Betty.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great show, which is supposed to be about, you know, this somewhat unattractive character being a swan of a different kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a gay character on there. Hasn't quite mentioned that he's queer as a $3 bill, but, but, you know, let's face it, he's...
Quite
I mean,
obvious.
He's quite obvious.
If he's any queer, he's the one taking her to prom, huh?
I mean, it's just...
If it wasn't for gay men, you know, fat girls wouldn't get to go to dance. That was the movie that opened up the Gay Lesbian Film Festival here in Houston called Fat Girls.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's see. In Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes.
You can watch In the Life TV at 11 p.m.
Ooh.
And rebroadcast at 5 a.m.
Wow.
Ooh.
5 a.m. For all those people getting up to go to work.
Tuesday at 11 p.m. or Wednesday at 5 a.m.
Wow.
So they show it twice.
Nice.
At somewhat decent times. What's another?
You may call 5 a.m. a decent
what's
time,
another,
but I don't. Yeah.
What's another right-wing kind of town? Kansas City?
Oh, pick one.
Yes.
There we go.
Tulsa, Oklahoma? Come on, John Goodman,
remember?
You can't
have too much with Oklahoma. I mean, they've got two gay resorts.
This is true.
You know, John Goodman is a good guy. I got to admit, Hollywood wouldn't be Hollywood if it wasn't for gay people, quote unquote, Elizabeth Taylor. But
yeah.
he was coming from the show Roseanne, and don't forget they had lesbians, and they had gays on the show.
Roseanne had an amazing assortment of gay characters on that
show.
She
sure did.
I mean, she blew the top off of the whole. First of all, she dared number one to show families as they more likely are than the perfect, pretty,
dysfunctional
cleaver family types. I mean, she showed American life as it more often is these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what?
Kansas City does not show.
Oh.
How about Tulsa?
Since I mentioned it.
Try Virginia.
I'm sorry, I'm convinced that Cthulhu, for anybody who's a gamer, I'm convinced that some tentacle of Cthulhu lives under the bus station in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because I've been there. It's not a pretty... It's
true.
Not a pretty picture.
Well, in fandom, I mean...
I'm sure Tulsa
is, those who love H.P. Lovecraft...
Yeah, there you go.
They know.
It's just... I was in that bus station for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And every freak of nature that people who made me look normal were living in that bus station. It was just...
It's anyhow. Not shown anywhere in Oklahoma.
Mm.
What a shock.
So, okay, so there are no places worse than Houston, Texas. but let's look at our...
Fort Lauderdale?
Duh, Fort La-di-da, you mean.
La-di-da.
Get out those pumps.
Isn't it interesting, speaking of Florida, that that both Disneyland and Disney World are in counties called Orange County?
I did not know that.
In different states.
I did not know that.
That's a fact.
Wow.
They're both in Orange County. One is in Orange County, California. One's in Orange County, Florida. That was a Jeopardy question recently.
That's how he knows.
That's exactly how I know. You think I'm that smart on my own? Please. I can't come up with it. I can't pull this stuff out of my butt at the drop of a hat without. Never mind. I see that look on your face. He's about to say something.
Helps wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to go there.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay.
But, I mean...
Well, kudos to Disney for having same-sex benefits. And they have Gay Day.
Yes. Yes. Which offends straight people every year.
Oh, get over it.
Oh, well.
Get over it. We're here. Okay?
I will say one good thing about that new... About that... Of course... Ugly Betty is also about the fashion industry, and the one, flamingly gay character on there is a fashion.
I apologize, but you know, a lot of straight women go to gay guys to get their hair done.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. because they figure another woman is not going to make them look better than they are.
Isn't that the truth?
Exactly. I have noticed something about hairdressers. Speaking of hairdressers, gay and straight, they have some of the world's worst hair.
Yes,
because they do stuff to themselves that they just shouldn't do.
Yeah,
they all end up looking like Mrs. Slocum. It's just not pretty. But the one good thing I can say about the gay character on Ugly Betty is he's got a really cute ass.
Oh.
But that's about it.
Well,
sorry.
And I have.
He's a devious son of a. Exactly. but he's kind of cute and very flamingly.
And what about shows like Project Runway?
Oh, of course. You know, what about it?
I think they just assume. Most of the men are gay, unless the men talk about their wives and children.
And so far, the only ones. I don't have cable. So the only times I saw that show was when I was in the hospital this summer.
Oh. Did you like it?
Yeah, actually I did. Now, having said that, I don't think the gay subject has come up all that much.
No, it doesn't.
As a part of the show.
But they don't avoid it.
And
But what they did do...
And the guy who runs the show, the guy, that gray-headed English guy or whatever...
Tim Gunn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's queer.
Oh, of course he is.
He talked about it and everything on one of the late-night talk shows. I was like, you go, boy.
Yeah.
We like you, Tim.
There's another show that... I've mentioned about it before because the first episode was very homoerotic. And I didn't watch much of it, but watched the final episode, and I swear it outed one of the characters.
Wow.
In the reality show. And I've got to go back now and see if it was true, because I kept looking at him going, I think he's gay. And it was Two-A-Days on MTV, which was a documentary about this high school in Alabama that has a football team that's very successful over the years.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And Two-A-Days comes from the fact of before the season starts, you have two practices a day and they call them Two-A-Days. And I kept looking at the quarterback going, he's cute enough to be family. The blonde, you know, at Alabama, he's got the blonde Dutch boy haircut. And like I said, I've watched the beginning part, and like I said, you know, the first episode, was, you know, they're out in the heat and all that, and they cool him down by throwing him in a bucket of ice water, so, you know, you've got high school seniors in, wearing only those
wet
gray
clothes.
Shorts. Oh, gosh.
So I watched the first part, and then watched the final episode, and they made a comment about the quarterback going, and he and Elliot are still together. And my ears kind of went,
what?
Could Elliot be a girl's name or a
guy? Not likely.
And it's like, you know, I went to the MTV website. They said nothing about it in there, in his little bio. You know, I typed in, you know, Hoover High, Ross gay, and nothing popped up.
I saw a thing again, while I was in the hospital. I had, like, the access channels and stuff. You know, they do some weird...
Yes, they do.
...things on those channels. And they would do, and there was this one segment that I caught somewhere near the end of the segment, in the last 10 minutes of the segment or so. They were doing this story of a gay professional wrestler. Who actually was a gay professional. Some blonde guy. And it's like, and how that interacts with his being a professional wrestler.
Well, yeah, and the problem he ran into is that they wanted him to do a... He wanted him to be a gay wrestler, but in the way they do a professional wrestling, the stereotypical, you know, you're going to lose every match, that sort of thing. And,
Well, I have to interrupt because we're running out of time here, but cheerios to Oprah. Remember, she had the two gay football, professional football players on her show.
Yeah.
Former.
Former.
There's no...
Yeah. It's not like they're actually on the field sticking their hands between
with
the
Freudian
leg.
Slip.
the guy whose name I can't pronounce in the...
Paseo Tolua?
Yeah, him.
Kitty Patootie,
Hawaiian. The other one is, I guess, Ron Capelli.
Yeah.
Kitty Patootie, too.
A very large...
What other ones are there? This has been After Hours.
Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old Pacifica Station.
KPFT, Houston, 90.1 FM.
And
89.5 on the island.
Yeah.
If you want to get a hold of us, it's afterhours@kpft.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can shoot us snail mail at afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard. That was your cue for your L-O-V-E-T.
L-O-V-E-T-T. Love T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Getting slow in his old age.
Yeah, well.
You can send us your information, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty dicks!
pictures.
I love
anything,
that.
You know. I'm tired of reading junk mail.
Okay.
Yeah. I get
love,
enough. I get enough emails on the other 300 email accounts I have telling me how to lose weight. I don't need to hear them on the KPFT one.
Please.
How about enlarging your penis?
I only get that one. I get from I usually get those ones on the Yahoo group called Chubbies with Small. For some reason, they say, I got a 9-inch penis. Find out how.
Folks, tune in next week to our subject, which will be size queens.
And actually, we'll talk about the other thing. You know, with Gigi, we were talking about foreskin restoration last week.
Yes.
They have come up with an artificial foreskin.
Oh.
It's just a little bit of a strap-on. It basically looks like a condom.
Stop!
With a, I swear, it looks like a condom with the tip cut off.
Good night.
This is After Hours, and now...
Blessed be. Be well.
And now these PSAs.
Bye. KPFT election update. Please join us for an informative evening this Tuesday night, October 24th, 6 p.m., under the blue tarp roof at Domey Outdoor Theater. As Houston Peace and Justice Center bring you an all-candidate live forum and reception. Our guest of honor, Sissy Farenthold, will speak at 6:30, followed by an all-candidate roundtable discussion moderated by Houston Peace and Justice Center's Dave Atwood. And on the Domey Outdoor movie screen, John Cleese of Monty Python fame will explain single transferable voting. This is the method you'll be using to mark your ballot soon. Ballots for the upcoming station board election are in the mail. Put some voice in your vote. Get to know the candidates this Tuesday at Domey Books. Seating at Domey is limited. Please RSVP. For more information, dial 713-526-4000, extension 312. Thanks to Houston Peace and Justice Center for supporting Radio for Peace. KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.